We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Everything in Between podcast. My name is Shay. I'm here with Christian.
What's up?
And it looks like you've got a friend with you today.
I do. This is Travis Johnson.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you.
Travis and I have kind of like an interesting relationship in the fact that we didn't just like meet. It was more of like a I was starting a job. So Travis was actually, just to give you a really quick background here before we jump into things, I was working at a church in Chicago, which is where Shay and I met. And when I got I was searching for a job, and Travis was part of the like search, essentially the, for like, to make a very long story short, the search committee for the church that I was going to be moving to in the Joplin area, and so or that I would move to after, you know, the interview process was over. So yeah, so Travis was the is the music director at the church that I worked at for about 6 months, which is another story for another time. And we've kind of talked, like, we'll have to get into that at some, we may get into that at some point. We may not. It may be another podcast, or maybe there'll be a part two. We'll have you on.
Yeah.
But Travis and I quickly became friends, after I started there. And yeah, just things kind of took off from there. It was an interesting period of time. We've been friends for what? Almost a little over a year now.
I mean, yeah, like about a year,
like been like, in like, we've known each other, I guess, like for about a year. This would have been like, I feel like this is about the time you and I would have, like, our friendship would have taken off, truth be told, because it was like beginning of March is when I started, and like pretty quickly after that, yeah, so maybe like a week or two into that is when our friendship kind of took off, I
right.
feel like. So
yeah.
But yeah, so I just wanted to have you on because I feel like a lot of the stuff that Shay and I have been talking about, we've talked a lot about, like, in the first episode that we recorded about, like, just like connection to leaders in the church, you know, how like they're perceived to their congregations, and how that negatively affects, like, and not only like their connection to their congregations, but connection, especially if it's a big church, to the public, like being in the Christian music world. Oops, sorry, hit my mic there. Being in the Christian music world, and how that like negatively affects people's perspective of, you know, Christian musicians and things like that. And the more we kind of sat on, I'm like, man, we should definitely have Travis on the show, because I feel like you might be able to give us some insight in, not only into that, but like just into a lot of things in the like MD aspect, the music directing aspect of that, of like how things work, you know, in the church. I'm just kind of hoping maybe we can have like a really big conversation just about music and stuff and kind of that kind of thing. So, cause you're a much more skilled musician than I would even call myself.
Whatever, man.
And you can be modest all you want, but it's true. So, I'm really excited for this conversation, cause I think it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to just dig into some stuff. So, so let's just jump right in then. Like, I've got some questions that we can go through here. So we'll just kind of start there. Like, why don't you share a bit of your background in music, and like what got you into like playing music? What instruments do you play? Kind of that kind of thing. Tell us about yourself a little bit.
Okay. So I, play bass guitar, acoustic guitar, and electric guitar. Started when I was 12, had to beg the ever living crap out of my parents, let me play. And then, cause there's like a 40-year-old acoustic guitar my mom had, beat up. It's really old. And, then I had to fight pretty hardcore to listen to certain genres of music, better for worse, whatever. But yeah, I've been playing for probably a 30, almost 30 now. So what, bad at math, almost 18 years, 17 years, somewhere in there.
Gotcha.
So yeah, and
And how do you feel like, so like you said you started playing music at age of 12, like prior to that, like what are, well, maybe I should say this, like, what are some interests outside of like just music alone that, that you have like currently?
I mean, video games, obviously, like the Bible and stuff, obviously.
You have to say that.
Yeah, like Christian, like, yeah, Jesus.
He's like, I just like God, and that's it. No, I'm just kidding. But,
I have zero other interests.
I mean, like, I've had music for such an interest for such a long time.
Right.
Like, what started it all was about fourth, fifth grade, me and my buddies started listening to bands like Green Day, Good Charlotte, Fall Out Boy, and we were like, hey, let's start a band. And I was supposed to be the drummer. They were like, well, we already, like, none of us were good. We all suck. Right. We're all beginners. But like, we already have a guitar player. It was like the most popular friend in the friend group. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll play bass. And then I ordered a bass off eBay, $60 knockoff brand bass.
Piece of junk.
Without my parents knowing.
Oh, geez.
And they were mad. And then I happened to be sick one day, and this bass shows up. That I had ordered.
Geez.
It's supposed to be my Christmas gift, but it showed up on the day I was actually sick, so right. I got it early. So they were mad, but they got it for me for Christmas, and that's how it kind of just took
right,
off.
Right.
So
very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So out of parental rebellion came this interest in music, and then you went into Christian music of all things. So you said like Green Day. What were some of the other ones you said? Yeah, so you mentioned like several music interests. What do you feel? Was there something specific about those that you feel like kind of like? I mean, you said that that's kind of where the band started from, but like, do you feel like those have kind of been the like how have those affected your not only your interest in music, but like the music that you feel like you're drawn to the most?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like so when I was like one of the earliest memories I have, I was in the truck with my mom. And Blink 182's "All the Small Things" came on.
Gotcha, amazing
and
song.
I loved the guitar sound.
Right.
It was like sounding massive.
Yeah.
And so I fell in love with that, and then like, so that kind of sound, like that emo pop punk.
Right.
And then you know, obviously like Green Day, Good Charlotte, Simple Plan, Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, like that kind of started off of that, and it really pushed, like, I eventually got into, like, metal and then, like, heavier stuff. And just,
right,
it's like,
right.
It's music's almost kind of like a drug, I guess. Like, you get hooked on one thing, it's like you get to the harder stuff in, like, that sense. Like, it's a really bad analogy.
That was a perfect analogy. But, that was perfect.
It's like I started on cigarettes and I ended up on, like, meth, but, it's like listening to like deathcore.
So that makes me want to ask the question: what would you consider so do you consider Green Day to be the cigarettes of music? Is that,
well, like if you're going down like
Blink 182,
like you're going down like that rock to like super extreme metal? Yeah, like,
right.
Like a lot of metalheads, like I've talked to, like they've started out at like hearing Disturbed or something, and they just gradually like, oh, listening to heavier and heavier and heavier stuff,
right?
And then you find your kind of sweet spot eventually. Like where you're like, okay, that's probably a little too far. I don't have much that is in that realm. Like,
I was gonna say, I think, and we can get into some of that later too. Yeah, that's. But I feel
maybe I can chime in.
I was gonna say you probably can lean into this maybe a little better than I can.
Because I have a theory with a lot of us that like have gotten into heavier music, or even just most people in general, and I'm gonna guess that you probably went through a Linkin Park phase at some point.
Yep.
And it was usually right about seventh or eighth grade.
Yeah, actually, it was like fifth, sixth grade for me. Like, it was just
early.
Yeah. His drug addiction started early.
But I think everybody had a Linkin Park phase at some point, like whether it was intense or not, or they've still held on to it. But I think that was a lot of like the gateways. So like your cigarettes of music, I guess, as we're using that analogy.
I think I can even agree with that. Cause like, I don't feel like I got into Linkin Park until really late. Like one of the first, Linkin Park songs I remember is, I hope I'm remembering this right, is New Divide. Cause it was,
so you watched the Transformers movie.
Exactly. No, literally. Like I was a late bloomer. I didn't really fall in love with them until really late. Which is a really good description of my entire life, truth be told. But like, that, yeah.
Christian's a late bloomer.
I've always been a late bloomer on stuff, so I've accepted my fate. But like, I mean, even my voice, that's a whole nother thing. But anyway, sorry. Anyway, yeah, like, no, I got into it. So that's funny you say that, because I feel like that I can even relate to that on the other side of even where you like said, like, I feel like I got into it later than that. So that's funny that you say that.
Yeah, it's, the analogy is horrible, but it's kind of works that way.
You said it's horrible. It's spot on, dude. That's so perfect. I'm glad you said that, because I'm going to definitely use that throughout the rest of the podcast. That's amazing. So go ahead.
I have one question, though, because you kind of mentioned it. And I probably experienced something similar, but maybe to a lesser extent. But you mentioned that some of the music was probably not approved of by your parents. Yeah. I kind of want to dig a little bit more into that and like how you think that affected your music choice. Or did you feel like you were rebelling, or do you feel like you were influenced by any of the heavier music? Because I think you and I share similar likes and music taste. Like, I mentioned it in one of, or like in my interview, if you will, that one of my favorite bands is Slipknot, but as a Christian, like it's, I feel like I'm not delving into anything demonic by any means, but
yeah,
there's arguments that can be made to the contrary, but, kind of want your thoughts on that side of things too.
So for me, it never was like about rebelling against my parents. Cause it was chasing a sound. I loved the sound. And then,
yeah.
So like, then I had a friend, one of my childhood best friends, he showed me this band, Alisana, and the band The Devil Wears Prada. That's when I was first exposed to screaming vocals, and I instantly was like, love the aggression. And that's when, I mean, like, for people that know, I was listening to bands in like 7th, 8th grade of like Suicide Silence, which is one of the heavier, like, first deathcore bands, and delved into bands like Whitechapel, Impending Doom. I mean, a lot of the content and the lyrics isn't great on a Christian perspective, but it was never about rebelling. It was like I was always chasing a sound. Like, even today in worship-related stuff, I'm constantly chasing, oh, I want this bass tone or this guitar tone. So it's really been a thing my whole musical interest throughout my life. It's just chasing a sound. Yeah. And so that's kind of part of it.
Well, and you probably dove deeper into it before. Because, like, and Shay said this, but, like, he got into the whole, like, actually, like, being a part of, like, you know, being on the worship team and kind of, like, jumping into his musical interests more recently rather than earlier than you or I would. But you got into it a lot earlier than even I did. So, like, yeah, you have a different perspective on that aspect of it, where you were actually like, okay, I want to define my own tone based on the music interests that I currently have. And I'm finding that I like, you know, as I'm creating this sound. So yeah, that's, I think, interesting, where that wasn't something that I even experienced. And I'm sure you might even like not really relate to that, Shay, because of the fact that like we were a little later to the party as far as I mean, cause I started playing when I was 15, 16, something like that, like really started playing. And maybe even a couple years before that, I want to say that's about like 14, 15, 16 sounds about right. So yeah, so you were definitely earlier to the party, which I think, again, like that goes back to it, as much as I know you've already said this, but I would disagree of like, you're a much, much more talented musician than I am in that respect. And maybe I'm just saying that cause I feel like you've got more experience rather than I should say, like, it's not that you're, I'm not trying to dumb it down, like a better musician. You just have a longer career than I've had.
Experience is a huge thing when it comes to music. I appreciate the compliments, man. Yeah, like, I mean, I didn't get heavily involved in worship music until I got saved about 5-6 years ago.
Right.
So, like, but music in general, like, it's about experience, and I'm still constantly learning. I look back at myself, you know, 10 years ago, I'm like, man, I was an idiot.
right.
I think we all do.
Yeah, it's like, even like growing up, you're like, man, I acted really stupid in high school. It's like, same way with your interests that you keep over a long period of time. It's like you learn more, you realize, oh, I didn't know everything, you know. So
right, and that's fair.
And even how much like you can change, like you mentioned, like only being really into like the worship side of things and like being a part of like the worship team at a church, like how much growth happens even in just a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like I think about how my first introduction into the church that I'm at was one thing. I'm like, it was, worship was decent. But then we had one other new worship leader come in just before Christian. And like, she even started kind of like a change in things and like, okay, things feel a little bit different.
Yeah.
And things didn't work out with her. And then Christian steps in and then he had an entire year or 2 years. How long were you with us?
Almost exactly 2 years. Yeah.
2 years. So, I mean, even like it's relatively speaking a short amount of time, but the amount of influence and change that he was able to make and like build a whole lot of confidence and build a really strong team that we're still being able to stay strong, even now that he's not in that leadership position with us anymore. Like he's built up a lot of skills within us. And then I'm sure in his own worship as well, like his worship had to have changed in those 2 years as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Just to kind of match how everything was progressing and how things were changing and people becoming a little bit more confident. Like, I mean, I'm sure all of us felt it the same way. Like in the first time up on stage, like you have all the emotions running and little by little, you get a little bit more confident. You're like, maybe I should try this other song, or maybe I should step out a little bit more in my comfort zone and actually speak to the congregation, all those kind of crazy things. So
you never really get like used to it. You just kind of get like,
no.
you kind of just get comfortable with it. Like, Your comfort changes. Like you learn how to get, I mean, it's like when we were talking about this, like starting this, like this podcast, like the first episode we both discussed, we're like, man, there were some rough parts of it. And even like, I'm going back and listening to it, trying to edit it. And I'm like, yeah, there were some rough spots, but like, there were also some really, really good spots, you know? So you're like finding your confidence level and the fact of like hearing yourself do it, I think is important too. So yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think that's a good point. So, yeah. So I want to dig into what you kind of were talking, what you said earlier. Like you mentioned, like, which I don't even know that I knew this, that it was that like your faith journey is still, I mean, maybe I should say it this way, compared to like mine, where I like I kind of have grown up as a PK or a pastor's kid,
yeah.
Where that's not quite how you've grown up or even Shay has grown up. And so like, that's one of those things that Shay and I differ in, is because he didn't grow up as a PK like I did. So let's dig into that a little bit. Like what kind of like changed do you feel like? And again, I mean, you know, obviously share what you want or what you don't want. Like, yeah. But like, yeah, what do you feel like kind of led you down that faith journey, but also like into Christian music as well? Cause obviously that's where you and I connected.
So been in church my whole life, really, and I mean got baptized in like fifth grade, and then immediately like seventh grade got into smoking cigarettes and pot, and that happened all the way through high school. They had K2, they had something called K2 back in the day.
I remember
synthetic
K2.
Yep. Synthetic marijuana. And that could actually kill you. Yeah. And I had two overdoses on it, actually.
Oh, wow.
One, the second one, I just hit the floor. And I had a friend pick me up. And so I learned real quick after that experience, like, I'm just going to smoke weed only. Like, mm-hmm. And I never went into anything hard. And just, you know, people say marijuana is not addictive. It is, like, at the end of the day, like, there was I thought I couldn't function without it. Like,
right.
I'm like, oh, I need to be high. Obviously like depression and stuff. So, just did that for years. And I know I have an addictive personality. Like I would get teeth pulled and they'd give me, you know, like hydrocodone for the right. pain and like liked it.
Right.
And like I could tell when I was stopped taking it, I'm like, oh, I want more of that. But right. I never had the will to go find it.
Right.
Just cause part of it was, I guess, smarts of like that can kill you if you take too
right.
much of it.
Right.
So I would say I was addicted to just needing to be high, really, and had a lot of health issues, startup, still working through that, and kind of came to the end of myself of reaching out to God with my depression and my brother was going through some stuff that my parents were, like, my mom had a heart attack at a young age. So, like, just reaching out to God for all these circumstances, and it's like something just flipped in me.
Mm-hmm.
Quit smoking weed, quit smoking cigarettes, like, got off this stuff I've been addicted to for years. Mental health started to get better. And of course, we all got our stuff we're still working through. And so that was like my testimony, I guess. Obviously, there's more to it. Bad relationships I had, you know, being arrested twice, getting sent to juvie, getting on probation for a year, all that kind of. So, like, kind of a rough upbringing through high school. Not the roughest, you know.
Right.
But unique in our own way, like we all are. And then, so once I got saved, you know, became friends with the current worship leader that was at the church, who really seen something in me. I had a mentor growing up through the church who's seen a lot in me, very professional individual, that taught me basically how to act, how to prepare. And once I got saved, I just started caring about, like, hey, I need to bring my best foot forward.
Mm.
And that was just a slow, like, started with the playing, then I'm like, oh, I need to, like, let me actually pour my resources into this and my knowledge and start learning things, and like became a worship director or interim worship leader for a whole year before you showed up, to like within four years of being saved. Never in what I have ever thought I would have been technically like a worship leader or interim worship leader. But there I was leading a team of people, and I'm not an outgoing dude really. So that it was interesting. To be used by God that way.
So like even just going back a little bit, so you dealt with all this kind of, I mean, a lot, like I said, like we've kind of discussed it, like, you know, Shay and I have come from different sides. Like, I've grown up in a household where like both parents have always been together. Like, and you've kind of, I mean, you grew up with that too. Like your parents, I mean, I know your parents personally, just because we, you know, I worked with your mom. She was one of the volunteers at the church, but also like worked, you know, with your dad, not in the same, you know, we were coworkers, I guess. Like he works in a different area of the church, but like, so yeah. So like, but you kind of got thrown into all of this, and do you feel like, because, I mean, you said it was so like five to six years where you feel like you felt like your faith really grew, correct? You're like where you really delved into like, this is something I want to commit my life to. Like, I want to commit my life to Jesus and really pursue this and be intentional with it. And then, I mean, very quickly after that, you're getting thrown into like essentially a full time position of like leading worship, not really leading worship, but like being the guy at the church. So and that's another thing. Like, so prior to me coming to this church, you were the interim guy for a year. So like, do you feel like that heavily shaped that heavily shaped your, not only your perspective on worship leading in general and music in general, but like how your faith worked? Do you feel like it shaped a lot of that?
Like, I understand leadership a lot better after doing it, because obviously I didn't do everything perfectly by any means, but we went to conferences and I have a lot of friends who are worship leaders. I mean, just about all my closest friends are worship leaders, and that's about 6 or 7 people. So I really understand leadership, especially in ministry, and especially on the worship side. Like, I can kind of walk into a church and be like, okay, I can kind of see how things are being ran just from being an attendee. You kind of know, like, okay, this is, you can tell what people are using. You can tell, like, you just tell certain things of also culture. I would say, like, I wish I would have been doing some certain things in my faith walk when I was the worship leader that I'm doing now. I wish I would have done more of it then, like being in the word more, praying more. So, because that's fundamental, especially in ministry, like, well, actually only in ministry, is you got to be in the word, being in prayer, because you're leading people, especially worship leader, you're leading people to the throne room. Like, we're there to worship God, and you got to be right, and you got to be prepared, like spiritually, not only musically, but spiritually is more important.
Kind of goes into that saying of you can't pour from an empty cup. So you got to fill yourself up to actually pour from anything. And one of the kind of thoughts that I had, like just kind of going back to like each of our experiences being different, like the both of you kind of being exposed to the Christian life from the get-go, it almost kind of seems like you're saying like you got saved only like 5-6 years ago, that maybe that was the point where it was no longer your parents' faith that you were following and their example that you're following, but when you actually made it your own and started to kind of lean more into that, like I know my wife and I have had conversations about like what the meaning of like baptism is, and like, do you baptize your child as an infant, or do you let them kind of wait and decide to do it on their own? And I'm kind of the supporter of like both, because like first time is like the parents' outward declaration of making sure that they're going to be teaching their kids to follow the faith. But then like I got baptized again when I was 17 in the Gulf of Mexico. Nice.
It's the Gulf of America. Okay. What are you talking about?
Oh, no.
In my faith journey, it was the Gulf of Mexico, and that's where I got baptized. But
sorry, I wasn't trying to take that political. Anyway, go ahead.
But it's like, it was kind of like that declaration of like, this is my faith now. Like, this is where I'm staking my claim of like, I'm going to have a relationship with God. I'm going to dig more into what God has for me. And it kind of seems as though that was a similar experience for you, even though you had those influences early on.
Yeah, like part of it. Well, so let me, I didn't say this part actually. I was basically an atheist at one point. So like, I don't know if it's like a parable a man came up with, but like, teach your kids the right way and they'll come back to the Lord or whatever. I don't know if that's in the Bible or not.
I think you're right. I think it is.
I don't know if it's like, but like, that's kind of what happened with me is like,
I think it is in the Bible is what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it is. So like, grew up in the church, fell away. I got to a point where like, I was basically an atheist. I remember this one time I was in a vape shop in the area and I knew the owner, and I basically said, well, God's not real. And she got so angry at me and told me to leave.
Oh, geez.
And I got up and I went to walk out and she's like, come here. And she's like, of course, had a really heart to heart with me. Like, she cared. And she was like, just be respectful. And I was like, yeah, no, fair enough. And part of my faith journey back was like seeing how broken the world is and questioning things and like searching for answers of why is things the way they are.
Yeah.
And it all led to there's one hope.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, and you've had like, cause you and I have had a lot of conversation about this too. And maybe this is like further down the rabbit hole, but like, you've had a lot of really, and maybe you can kind of expound on this, but like, you've had a lot of really interesting interactions with like people speaking into your life in really cool ways. Like, I mean, I'm thinking of one in particular that I know you probably, like you've mentioned to me several times, this woman that essentially poured into your life at a church. And like, but I just, I've noticed like you've had several just stuff that you've told me of interactions like that. Like, like maybe just the question being like, can you expound on some of those if you want to? And then like, again, do you feel like, how do you feel that's affected your faith? Because I feel like that seems to be a really big part of your story.
So yeah, like probably the one that stands out to me the most now that I am saved and like big into worship ministry is there was this guy, and this is when I was not saved. You know, I'm in high school smoking weed and running around with the wrong crowd and getting in trouble. This guy comes up to me in the worship band and he's like, tell me about the story of Jehoshaphat and how the armies had come against him from all around. And what do? They send out the choir to give praise and honor and glory to the Lord. And God just wipes them all out.
Right.
There's so much loot. I think they looted them for 3 days.
Yeah.
And he told me, like, take it seriously, man. Like, this is spiritual warfare. Like, you don't know what people are walking into with, like, walking into the building with, and, like, that spoke out to me. I never seen a dude ever again. Like, it was weird.
And that's that was like angel interactions on those.
I don't know. But, and then I had a lady, she spoke. It was when I was in charge of worship at the church. She said, she like kind of spoke over me like a word of knowledge, I guess. She's like, "Hey, you're gonna."
This is the one I was talking about.
Like, you're gonna have a spiritual deepening, which happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of questioning a lot of things within Christianity as a whole. Like, hey, are we worshiping correctly? Like, are we taking the time to give our time to God? Like, are we just trying to rush through things? She said, "You're gonna have a spiritual deepening. Keep doing what you're doing. The Lord sees you, and He will bless you one day. Just keep doing what you're doing," which, you know, I grew up in a much more conservative background. So I was like, oh, okay, whatever. But it's oddly enough, she spoke that over me. And, I've had more of a warming up to more, I guess, charismatic things.
Right.
Like, I believe a lot different things than I kind of grew up with.
Yeah. You and me both even recently. Yeah. Yeah. But, of course, we're going to the same church. So that kind of, and to give some even like background to that, cause I don't know that I've even told Shay this, like just an interaction. So Travis and I have been going to the same church since everything that happened at the church that we were at prior to, has gone down. And like both of us, I feel like are having a lot of like, I grew up in a charismatic church, but like, there's a lot of things that I've really tried to open my mind to, which again goes back to Shay, you and I's conversation in the last episode of like, just being open-minded to what God can do. Like I had somebody, I'll say this, cause I think this is such a cool idea. Like, you've mentioned him before. You said, so Lou from the church that you currently go to in Chicago, he's one of the members at the church that I led worship at with Shay. And, but he's just like, so like spiritually intelligent. Like guy has just got, and he's been through, like, if you didn't know the guy, you probably would think just by talking to him for like maybe 10 seconds that he probably was in a gang at some point. And I think he was, if I'm not mistaken.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think he was. Like, I mean, guy's grown up in Chicago, I think. No. Where was he at prior to? He did some growing, well, like some more of his adult growing up in Chicago, but like he lived somewhere else. Like dude's been through it. Like has a crazy story. He's had like some really weird like back issues the last few years, had a really like nasty back surgery. Like the guy's just been through a ton of stuff. But anyway, he told me this thing one time where he was talking about how like we put God in this box of like, you know, and I've always kind of like, it's been one of those things, like it's questioned my like understanding. And I think that that's the part that's really cool about it is he mentioned like, we have this idea that like in the Bible, it specifically talk about God is one in three persons. Like He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But like, what if that's not all that He is? Like that, yeah, that's what the Bible describes Him as, but He's an infinite God. Like not saying that the Bible isn't wrong, not saying that that's not true, not saying that that's the structure of who He is as a person, but what if He's greater than even just those three persons? Like He could essentially be anything at any point in time, which would explain the world that we live in, which would explain so many other things. Not that, again, I want to go outside of biblical understanding of who He is, but I've always found that kind of as an interesting thing of like how often, just in the basic idea of how often have I put God in a box and not given Him the opportunity to show me what He can do, because I've got this little idea of this is my little Jesus box, and I'm going to keep all the things I know of who He is right here in my box. And if anybody tries to change that, well, they're wrong.
Yeah. Have either of you read the book,
yes,
The Shack?
Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up. I was thinking about that literally while I was saying that.
And I think that would really kind of puts into perspective, like our limited, like human view of who God is. Like everybody's preconceived notions of who God is this large bearded man, like white, long beard, kind of bald. Like that's just this like glory that is God. That is what everybody says. But like in this book, it's a large black woman. I'm like, God can be anything and speak to you in any way.
And I remember when that book came out, a lot of people had a problem with that because they were like, oh, wait a second. But yeah,
no,
go
God's
ahead.
Not a large black woman.
But go ahead with what you were saying. Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But yeah, I know. Go ahead.
But I think that was kind of like, I think I said the point that I wanted to make, but of just like it. takes the perspective of what we all have of God, like you were saying, like this box that we're putting him in, like, no, this is who God is. Like, this is what I know him to be, and he can't be anything else. But it's just limiting at that point, like, what an infinite God can do and can be. Right. Like, if we're only keeping him to this confines of, like, this old bearded white man, like, why couldn't he be this soulful black woman that just wants to feed you, or
right? Well, and even to take whatever, your, and even to take your point a little further, and then I want to hear what you have to say about this, Travis, and because I want to know what you think. But I remember the scene that kind of got me, because I had a problem with it at first, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. I'm going to be open minded to it because maybe they're trying to make a point, and of course they like. I mean, it was like the best point they could have made, but he's so the main character in the shack is, have you seen the movie, read the book?
I know a little bit. My okay. mom's seen it.
Yeah. So like it's the same way in the book as it is in the movie, from my understanding. I've read about, shut up. He keeps giving me his hard time. I keep saying book apparently. So anyway, in the book, like a Midwest white woman, sorry. There's a scene in the movie, which again, I'm pretty sure corresponds with the book. Shut up.
I didn't say anything.
He says, it's God has now like changed his form. So he's revealing himself to the main character, Mackenzie, as this like burly Native American man. And they're like getting ready to go out into the woods. And he's like, all right, come on. And they get ready to go. And he's like, I'm really confused. Why are you showing me yourself? Why are you showing yourself this way, when this is how you were showing me earlier who you were? And of course, earlier this black woman is in the kitchen. I think she's in the kitchen at one point, like making food for him. And they're just having like this, what feels like this mother to son kind of conversation. Yeah. And he said, what? So Mackenzie asks this now, you know, God, that this version of God that is now this burly Native American man. He says, why are you showing me yourself this way? He goes, at that point in time, you needed a mother. You needed a mom to talk to you. Right now you need a man. And that just broke me, because I was like, oh my gosh, like how often again have I put God in this box of like, he knows what I need more than I know what I need. And oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that you brought that up, because I was thinking about that as I was saying that. And then you said, I'm like, yes, because it's exactly, it's so true. Like, I can think of times when I feel like God has kicked me in the back of the head and he's like, wake up, stop being stupid and get on your feet and go do what I've asked you to do. And then I think of times where he's like, I can literally feel him hugging, you know, I've had those moments even in worship where I've just like felt like I can feel him holding me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's such a contrast, but it's in my mind, it's always like, I've never viewed him as a different person in that aspect. And I feel like that was such a beautiful way to depict that, because he's not a different person. He was saying the same things to him, but it was coming across so differently because of the way he revealed himself. And I thought, yeah, like, oh, that's so good. Anyway, yeah, I don't know if you have something to add into that, Travis, but
I don't know. Like, so what, my mom's kind of showed me clips of the shack, yeah, and I've always had like a weirdness with the,
yeah.
And it, I think that honestly, at the end of the day, they're just trying to portray artistically, like,
yeah,
God can be much bigger than what you think,
right?
And that goes into my faith journey, man. Like, growing up in a more conservative environment, before I became a believer, I started questioning things about the world. Well, now I'm questioning things about, like, okay, why do a lot of churches, you know, stick to an hour and call it a day? Mm. Like,
I've wondered the same thing too.
Like, what? Like, why aren't we just sitting in the presence?
Yeah, you and I have discussed this
worshiping
a lot.
Like certain, and I get denominational differences, but it's like, I mean, the Bible like talks about like raise your banner. I understand why certain churches do the whole flag thing,
right?
I get it, because that's what the Bible says basically, and you like, there's a lot of things. I mean, it goes. I mean, even gets down to the worship wars. The Bible says sing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. It doesn't say sing your gospel, your contemporary, or your hymns only. And like, just churches kind of, it's different denominations, different beliefs. A lot of it's tradition. A lot of it's how people's been grown up. I mean, it even goes into healing, like,
yeah,
God raised, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah.
Like, why does the church not believe in the same things it did then?
Yeah.
You got cessationists. I'm like, there's really no grounds on it. Like,
yeah. And I think that, like, that goes back to what I said earlier. Like, we put God in this box of, this is my understanding and this is what I like to do and this is how I know him. And, like, the Bible talks about it. Like, we're not called to live within a comfortable life. Like, this life was, it says this life was never, this physical life was never meant to be easy. You know, I mean, Jesus took it all on the cross for a reason. So if Shay and I've both, we've talked about this, but I've said it several times, like, what's the point of a savior if you don't need saving? You know, what's the point of needing to be saved? If what's the point of a Superman if everything's fine, if the city is not in trouble?
I mean, it says God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I don't know. I think the faster a lot of modern Christianity gets back to the roots of Christianity,
yeah,
the better off we'll be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
But
that's really good.
Yeah. It's weird what things have become. And I question a lot of it. And I think that was part of the spiritual deepening, is like, I'm searching for the truth, because even in Christianity, yes, we're on the same team. But I'm not saying there's one more truth than the other, but, like, what does God desire from us? Because it's all about him. Mm-hmm. It's not about us whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think that goes hand in hand. Like, again, how often have I put him in that box? And if I stop putting him in that box and I know that my job is to love people, then I'm going to go out and love people the best that I can and leave the rest to him. And if that's the case, then what can he do? How finite have I made him when he is an infinite God? And so, yeah, I mean, again, I think you're right. Like, obviously, this book is trying to put a perspective of God can be whoever, whatever. I mean, we see him show. I love the parable of, I can't think of the name of the parable, but it's the parable where the man is in the road and the people keep walking past him. And then, of course, this person that's on the opposite end of the social spectrum and the political spectrum stops to help him. And I love that, because I feel like Jesus is saying, like, I need you to do that. I don't care if the person is black, white, red, yellow, blue, whatever. It is your job to show them who I am. And how often do we see a situation and we go, I feel uncomfortable and I'm not going to do that because I want to stay inside my little box. I mean, again, and I'm saying this not intentionally trying to speak into certain situations, but, like, at the same time, I'm talking about myself and I'm realizing how often I do it. Like, how often I just get stuck. Like, I really tried. Walked into a store yesterday, like, and I'm not trying to, like, toot my own horn by any means. I think this was a cool thing. Like, it was really cool. I'm trying to be better about doing these kind of things, but I walked into a store a few days ago, and this lady was in front of me. I could tell she was, like, she was trying to get a drink we were in a gas station. She was trying to get a drink and she was, like, distraught. Like, didn't know. So you could tell something else was happening. It wasn't what was, she was trying to figure out what she wanted to drink, but in the process she was mentally somewhere else. And I kind of walked past her and she was like, "I'm sorry." And I'm like, "No, you're fine. I'm going over here." So I grabbed my drink and she walks away. Well, the freezer doors, like, are prop open doors. So, like, you open them and it stands open, and she, like, walked away and the door got left open. So I, like, she turns around and she's like, you could tell she was like, "What the heck?" So I, like, closed the door behind her and I said, "You're just having a day, aren't you?" And she was like, "Oh my gosh, if I could tell you," she's like, "it's been a whole week." And in that moment, I heard God say, "Pay for her drinks." And I was like, okay, that feels weird. But, like, in that, because if you've ever been to a Quick Trip, that's where I was. Like, it's the way that it's set up, it feels a little weird to, like, just pay for, like, because I have to physically would tell the guy, like, because essentially we could both walk up to the counter at the same time and she could pay for hers at the same time I'm paying for mine. And so it was, like, one of those things. I'm like, I'm going to have to catch it quickly. And, like, I felt really, it was one of those things I was overthinking it, because I'm like, this is not as weird as I mean, looking at it now, I'm like, this isn't as weird as I thought it was. But, like, I felt really uncomfortable about it. And I'm like, okay. And I knew it was just a small act, but I walked up and I, like, almost shouted at the guy unintentionally. I'm like, put her drinks on my ticket. And she just was like, what? And I was like, she said something. She's like, you don't have to do that. And I was like, no, I do. You have a good day. And she was like, well, thank you. And I mean, she like was quick to walk out the door and left. But I remember I just felt like I kept looking for her in the parking lot, couldn't find her, which was even weirder. But it was just one of those things. Like, I'm like, man, the way it made me feel alone to just help her, because I knew she was having, and if I can, if she goes to work and she's like, man, this drink tastes a little bit better because I didn't have to pay for it. You know, like, I mean, I know for me, that's how I would think. So like, I'm like, if that's all it was, like, show her a little bit of Jesus in that moment and how it affected my soul more than anything. And I think that's the really cool part about that is like, how could I not only affect somebody else's life, but how is it changing my perspective of who other people are in the world and especially who God is, I think is really cool. So again, like thinking about that perspective of like God being shown in this specific way to the main character in the shack, like I think that's really cool because it reminds me of like all the ways I've seen God show up, whether that be affectionately, whether that be sternly in my life, like he shows us who he is in different ways, but it never changes the character of who he is. And I think that's the really cool part about what you said and the truth of what you said.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I wanted to dig more into this, because I want to plug you at least a little bit too. So, you have got a project, called Breach of Demise, correct? I'm not butchering that. So, I'll let you describe it. So like, yeah, you've got this music project that you do. Tell us about it a little bit.
It's extreme metal. I'm not going to even get into the subgenres. It's just extreme metal. Christian based lyrics.
Yeah.
Mostly kind of, I'm very fascinated with end times prophecy. And so it mainly talks about that. Working on an album. I do everything besides mix and master the thing.
Let's say this too. You do everything really well. There's some insane guitar parts on this thing. These like alien chords that are just like flipping insane, dude. Like so good. You don't give yourself enough credit. It sounds real. I'm not even into the stuff and it sounds so good.
It's meant to be crazy. I'm very drawn to a lot of dissonance in music.
Right.
Also like the other side of it, like really pretty sounding stuff. I like it, the whole spectrum. And it definitely leans into, I mean, stuff I'm writing about is about revelation in times, going to be, I mean, Jesus calls it the beginning of sorrows, I think, for a reason.
Right.
It's going to be the worst period we've ever seen in history. Chaotic. So it's very chaotic sounding for that reason.
You've got a fairly recent song called End of It All. Is that it?
At the End of All.
At the End of All.
That's yeah, right.
I knew I was
going to
butcher that. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I'm finishing the vocals up for the album right now. And then hopefully my guy that mixes and masters reaches out to me because I've been waiting on him. But get it mixed and mastered. Just kind of money will play a part in getting it released.
Sure.
But, yeah, I've been working on it for a long time. And,
yeah. Yeah, because you released that last one. Well, it's been
about almost a year.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, so
part of it's lack of motivation.
I feel that.
Yeah,
I feel that. Well, and you and I have had a bit of a crazy year. I mean, Shay can even attest to the stuff that I've told him. Like, it's been a little bit of a crazy year. Which again, I think we'll have to get into it in another podcast for sure. Because I'd love to sit down and talk about some of that stuff. I think it's a topic that I'm interested in. Just kind of all of that like spiritual, unfortunately, I'm going to say it this way, but like that spiritual abuse aspect of things. Like, I think there's a lot of, subject matter that even we're talking about kind of now that would play into that. But anyway, yeah, please go stream, Breach of Demise's stuff. Like seriously, you won't regret that. It. Even if it's not your kind of music, just give it a chance. Like, man, it's
got the screamy vocals.
Yeah, it definitely
what
does,
I always tell people too, with those types of heavy lyrics is if it's not the music you like, look at the words.
Yeah.
Like, hear what they're actually saying. Because, like, the first thing anybody tells me when they don't understand metal vocals, they're like, how do you understand what they're saying? I'm like, I've trained my ears to understand and figure out how they speak. Like, every vocalist has a different tone and a different sound. So sometimes it's a little bit more hard to kind of pick out. But you invest any kind of time into it, you slowly can kind of like figure it out. You're like, oh, right, it's a lot clearer than what I thought he was trying to do. Yeah. Or just like figuring out like the cadence of like how they're moving through the words. Cause sometimes it sounds like they say like a whole lot of words, but it ends up being just like one word that they broke into like four different phrases. And I'm right, like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah. Well, and you've said this before too, Shay, where like you, well, you've said this several times, and I, you said it in the first episode that we recorded, like, give it a chance. Like, you know, like there's plenty of people in churches that say, you know, like, I really didn't like that song that we sang. And you're like, yeah, it's cause it wasn't for you. Like,
yep.
You know, so it's the same thing. Like, just because it wasn't for you doesn't mean it's not your job to like, if again, the message is Christ focused to any extent, like in my mind, your job is to be like, man, I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind for somebody that I know it would be for. Because
even circling back to what we were talking about, from the get go of like these different bands, like, Travis mentioned the Devil Wears Prada, like when those guys were super popular, like the Devil Wears Prada, Demon Hunter, I'm trying to think of any of those other big names, but like off the top of my head, but like everybody had kind of like strong negative opinions against them because they thought metal's the devil's music.
Yeah.
And there's no way that that could be Christ centered or focused. And like, when you meet some of these guys, like they're some of the nicest people, and like even going to like Slipknot concerts, like some of the nicest people I've ever met.
Right.
It just might happen to be that they might be in some of the darkest places, but they're just, those people tend to care more about other people than themselves.
Right.
And like, they'll be outwardly nice to you at a concert. Like I've gone to several of these metal shows by myself. I always make friends because somebody goes out of their way to be like, hey, you're standing by yourself. Do you want to come over here and mosh with us?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Dude, it's like when you go to shows, like one time I got in a mosh pit, landed on my head. This dude picks me up. Like you fall on the floor, people pick you up, towards the front. All the dudes put their arms out to protect the women from the, like from the hardcore dancers and mosh pit. Cause it was like, hey, like people are super nice. The metal scene overall, like to elaborate on something you said, is like the metal scene overall is a lot of darkness.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're called to be the light.
Yeah.
And to push into, it's warfare, man. Like we are called to go and preach the good news, and that's a dark place. And that's why Christian metal, hard, like any Christian genre exists, is to push into the darkness because the rest of the world is dark.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's a biblical verse, but every time I think about it, anytime somebody says like being in the light, I always think of the DC Talk song where he's, you know, I want to be in the light as you are in the light. Just from like, I love that because I'm like, but I love the next line because he says, I want to shine like the stars in the heaven. Like thinking about situation, like that's our job is to find those dark places and be that Jesus. That doesn't mean that you consistently put yourself in that situation, but like if you can show God to one person, if it's one person, like that's why I love working with youth. Cause like if it's one kid that's like, man, that really hit me hard, that song or what you said or whatever, I'm like, man, I love that. Cause they're so malleable and pliable when that age, like they want to learn, and to be able to like hear them say like, I got something from that. I'm like, man, that's exactly why I said what I did. I think that's so perfect. Like we need to be the light in those dark places, because not only that is that what Jesus is called to, but like Jesus has called us to, but like, I know the relationship that I have with him and how it's affected me. And I want every person I come in contact to feel that same exact thing.
And I know Travis and I can agree on something too, like having been around the metal scene for several years, like he was saying, like, it's a very dark place. And I think it was either For Today or Wolves at the Gate, one of the two. Like they're like For Today, obviously not touring anymore, but he's a pastor now. But
yep, which is insane. Received dude, a lot. So cool. That's so cool.
They received a lot of flack because they're touring with these bands that aren't Christian. Yeah. It's like, okay, it's one thing to like go out on tour and like do metal music as Christians, but like to also tour with bands like Lamb of God, or even though that sounds Christian, but they're not.
Right.
Like those types of places. And I think it was Wolves at the Gate was saying it, because they always take time in their sets to give like a quick little like 10-15 minute blurb about Jesus, of like what they believe, like, and what they're doing. And they'll always say like when I think it was the lead singer of Wolves at the Gate was like, people always give us crap for going and touring with these guys, but where does this light shine the brightest? It's going to be in the darkest places. And some of those people, like, even though I said, like, they're some of the nicest people to you, but to themselves, they're so damaging. They're so just hurt between depression and self-harm and whatever else might be going on. There's a lot emotionally that they're hiding.
Right.
But this is their kind of like their release. And if, like, we can get into that dark place, shine the light for Jesus, and save one person out of that darkness.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That, and like a lot of metal bands talk, I find it corny as all get out now, but satanic themes. It's like, okay, dude, keep beating the same dead horse. Like, like I don't know. It's been done. It is what it is. And granted, there's bands out there, like, they're, a lot of bands I've listened to before getting a lot of Christian metal were like very story driven. Like, they come up with a concept, like Lovecraft eating horror, like nuclear stuff, robots. Like, you know, right. You got story driven. Then you got like a huge selection of bands that really just delve into like the dark,
right?
Like witchcraft and satanic imagery. And I'm just like Christian bands counteract that. Cause,
right. Oh, for sure.
Like, I believe, like, you could be just talking about it, but honestly, like, man, like, it's a real thing. I don't know. Yeah. I think people realize it. Like, it's a real, real thing. And I don't know. This is, it's unfortunate. I mean, even pop music leads so many people astray.
Yeah.
It sounds.
Yeah. They make it sound all frilly and nice.
Yeah. But it, I mean, leads probably more people astray than some of the most darkest satanic imagery metal bands do, because it's just so popular. And I mean, like, I've heard people say this, and you know, it's whatever, but like, Lucifer was the most beautiful thing, mm-hmm, God created. Pride entered in, like,
mm-hmm,
light. Like, he's not, like, he's gonna work in all things. He can't, because he's a fallen foe, and he's trying to bring as many as he can with him. But like, it's not just the dark stuff that Satan is in.
Well,
it's,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
in it.
Well, and they, yeah, the Bible refers to him as a wolf in sheep's clothing, right. So he can pretty it up all he wants, but Bible and God know, and I mean, that we should know that, like, he is the liar of all lies. And so I think that I think that's a really good point. Like, I think that's always been my, because, like, I'm on the other side of the spectrum, where, like, that kind of music has always been something that, like, not didn't interest me, but, like, I'm very vocal driven when it comes to music. Like, I like what the person's saying, and I feel like the older I get, like, that's what a lot of even just metal music is. It's not about so much the musicianship, even though the musicianship is insane in a lot of those bands, but it is a lot about more what they're saying than it is anything else. I mean, the one that I think of that really had an effect on me, because I feel like a lot of my friends were listening to them, was O Sleeper. Like, they had a specific song that called Son of the Morning that was just like, it, dude, that song, mm-hmm, hit me so different than the rest of them, because of the topic of the conversation between God and the devil. And again, like, how, like, you, the, like, I love the chorus, because, which, first off, he has, like, some amazing, like, he has an amazing voice, but, like,
mm-hmm,
I love the way that the verses contrast the chorus, and the chorus is, again, that's God speaking, where he's like, if you could see like me, it's by your grace, it's by my grace you're breathing. Like, he's essentially saying, like, I could end your life in an instant, and I'm allowing you to live, and I'm allowing you to run that world until I decide to come back. And I think, mm-hmm, that's such a, like, again, that thinking back to that time in my life and that period where, like, I remember listening to them a lot, like, that song in particular, like, and how it affected my view of, like, just music in general. Like, yeah, it's insane to think that, like, again, like, being that light in the darkest places, because that light's, I mean, again, if I just think of, like, a light in a very dark place, it's the one thing you can, if it's pitch black and there's one light, how easy is it to see? And how easy is it for me to just want to linger straight? I mean, you would go, what is that? I want to see what that is. How easily it would be to linger toward it because of the fact that it's different than everything else around you, you know?
And the darkness cannot overcome it.
Yep. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. I like that. I like that a lot. What do you got, Shay? You got any other questions you can think of or anything else you want to add to that?
I don't know. I think we've been, it's been a pretty solid conversation for quite a little while now.
That's good. That's good. No, I think we should definitely come back to this for sure. I think there's some more stuff we could dive into, but I think, yeah, that's a good place to kind of come to a close with this one, at least. Travis, thanks for doing this. We're going to have you on again. This was a lot of fun.
Hey, yeah, man. Thanks
and,
for having me.
And I'm excited to see I'm like, obviously you and I are close, but like, I've really enjoyed our friendship. I've really enjoyed like getting to know you, getting to like, just dig into like music stuff. And like, maybe it's just a matter of, I feel like you and I agree on a lot of like worship stuff and stuff like that. But I've just really enjoyed like our friendship and getting to know you as a person. Like, you and I are so polarly different, but like, so much the same as far as like how we think of like worship. And I think that's so cool. Again, like I've said this in the podcast with shit, like on a previous episode, like, it's so cool to me to see how, and I think that's the point of like this whole everything in between thing, is like the ability of God to show him, to reveal himself to two totally different people in two totally different situations and two totally different lifestyles, yet we both find him. Like, that's the part that's mind blowing to me, is like how he can do that. And that's what I love about like this whole, like everything in between who we are and who he is. Like, that was my thought process. And like in the title of the podcast is like, how does that work? And how do we all seem to, I mean, as Christians or even as people who aren't, like, how do we find the perspectives that we find, and how does that like change who we are? So like, I've really enjoyed our friendship for that, in that aspect, because I feel like it's taught me like God can show up in so many different ways to so many different people. And, and yet we still find him and we still believe the same thing, you know, of who he is. So.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Everything in Between podcast. We are so thankful for the outpouring of support that we've heard about the podcast, the kind words and the things that you've said about the conversation, the things that we've talked about. We're so glad to hear how it's impacting your life. I want to one more time just thank Travis for being on the show with us today. This has been such a good conversation and such a good opportunity to get to know somebody else, to hear somebody else's perspective, and to hear how God has showed up in their life. Breach of Demise's debut album is coming out very soon, and we're really excited to be able to support Travis in this music venture. So go give them a follow on your favorite streaming service and give their music a listen. And to sign us off, here's a short clip of their song, At the End of It All. We'll see you next time on the Everything in Between podcast.